I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Right wing to Draisaitl. Holds up, leaves it. Here comes McDavid. He'll cut to the net. Scores! Connor McDavid! Upstairs, short side, and the Oilers are up 3-2.
The Edmonton Oilers stars were shining this afternoon. 4 points for McDavid, a hat trick, 4 points for Leon Draisaitl, and the Oilers beat the Senators again. 4-2 is the final. Edmonton 8-0 against Ottawa this season. Their record for the year now 24-14-2. They'll play the Senators for the ninth and final time this year tomorrow at 5. Thanks a lot for tuning in this afternoon along with Rob Brown. I'm Reid Wilkins. It's Heartland Ford overtime open line. Two early goals in the Montreal-Toronto game, which is now just 4 minutes old. That one is 1-1, and we'll keep you updated there. Well, Rob, the big guys did it. They were just absolutely spectacular this afternoon.
Yeah, the Ottawa Senators just don't have an answer. They don't. They don't have an answer up front. They can match a line against them. They don't have an answer on the back end with a defensive pairing they feel comfortable with. Dave Tippett, he saw what the two of them did together the last time they played against the Senators. He put them back together tonight knowing that there was no way that the Senators can contain them. You're giving up a little bit of offense down the rest of your lineup. Trickle-down effect if your best two players play together. But he was betting on the fact that Connor and Leon could outscore the Senators by themselves, as they have every game in this series, and he wasn't wrong. It is one of those ones where the goals that they scored, you're the goalie, you did nothing wrong. You're looking at it and, well, I played that right. The defenseman, well, I mean, what was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to stop him? We pushed Draisaitl on the one goal to a bad angle. How are we supposed to know he could score from there? So Leon and Connor came to play. They were fantastic in this hockey game, and they were the reason that the Edmonton Oilers got 2 points.
And really some great goals in this game. The game winner that we played by McDavid with 6:06 to go. The Oilers entered the zone with 7:49 on the clock. They had it for a minute 43 of forecheck, and Kaskin was on the ice initially. He changed, and Draisaitl came on. So you had McDavid, Draisaitl, Puljujarvi, Nurse, and Bear, and just patient, moving the puck around, and then finally against an exhausted Ottawa defense corps, he just finally blazed to the net and finished it.
Normally, when you get a team hemmed in for a long period of time, eventually you get a scoring chance or you bobble the puck. It's just human nature that over a course of time, you're going to make a mistake. The problem for the Senators there, the puck was in Leon's hand or Connor's hand. They don't make the mistake in the offensive zone with the puck on their stick. So all of a sudden, what could be a 30-second or a 35-second shift in your own zone, as you said, turns into a minute and a half, and then you can't compete. I don't know what Leon and Connor eat or drink to give them the stamina that they have, but we've seen them take 4 and 5 minute shifts and look just as fresh at the end of the shift as they do at the beginning. Most players don't. When I say most, I mean 99% of the other players in the NHL can't do that. So an extended shift like that, when you're defending, which is harder, you just have no chance. And they just kept making good play after good play until eventually there's the spot where you're like, okay, here's where I attack. And when Connor McDavid attacked, he's going against a forward. The forward's lost half a step on him, and it just turns into a breakaway. And when Connor has that much time, he's going to make the right play on net. So that shift was just an incredible shift that was going to end either with a power play for the Oilers or how it did end with a goal.
That was a great goal. But Rob, it was the second best goal scored this afternoon. this is second period, and again, we may have people driving home. Maybe you didn't get to see the game, or maybe you've seen a flash of it on social media, or even if you have seen it, watch it tonight. Watch it again. So 2:34 to go in the second. The game's tied 1-1. Draisaitl goes down the right wing. And Rob, when he shot the puck, his entire body was below the icing line. The only thing that was above the icing line was the blade of his stick, and that's all he needed.
And not only that, he was almost, his stick's almost touching the boards with his backswing. Like, he was all the way in the corner. And that was a 3-on-4? I mean, Ottawa Senators had players back. And the Senators, when they watched the video of that, they're like, how do I play that any differently? We forced the shot from the guy in the corner. We had Connor McDavid out there. He couldn't shoot. He had nowhere to go. We forced their goal scorer to stand in the corner with his feet below the goal line. And it was too bad right now for a lot of reasons with the pandemic and sports not really going, because this would be one of those goals that for the next few weeks, every kid's hockey practice, the kids at the beginning of practice before the coaches start the practice will be standing in the corner. Give me a one-timer. Give me a one-timer. I want to try this. In the men's league, the beer leaguers, they'd be doing the same thing in warm-up. Hey, I'm going to try and see if I can do that. Anytime you see something spectacular, something cool, you want to go try it and see how hard it is. And trust me, that's a 10 out of 10 on the difficulty scale. And not only did he hit it with an absolute bullet. There was zero chance for that goaltender on that goal. And you'll see dipsy doodle goals, and you'll see fun goals where guys go between legs, stuff like that this year. I don't know if you're going to find a goal with a higher difficulty than the one that we saw Leon score from behind the goal line.
Rob, we're going to get to Dave Tippett in about a minute here. Just seeing that the New York Islanders have tweeted, and it is their actual account. You always got to watch for fakes, but especially around trade deadline time in the NHL. It has the blue check mark, and it has 556,000 followers. So I'm going to assume that's the real Islanders account. They have acquired Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils. For a couple of players and the Islanders' first-round pick in 2021 and a conditional fourth-round pick in 2022. So there you have it. The Islanders get Palmieri, so that's one team you can also cross off Taylor Hall going to.
Well, yeah, and Zajac's good too. I mean, he's been a good hockey player for a number of years as well. That is, can you hear that right now, Reed? That is dominoes falling. Because the Islanders, who already have a very good team, just picked up two players like that. They are quality hockey players going to the New York Islanders. They now have set the bar of what the other teams are going to have to do if they want to compete in the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Islanders.
Yeah, the players going the other way, A.J. Greer, Mason Jobst, and again, the first rounder in 2021, a conditional fourth round pick in 2022, and New Jersey retaining 50% of the salaries on both Palmieri and Zajac. So that's the deal. And Rob, we're starting to see this more and more in the NHL. The deadline day can be a little anticlimactic, and sometimes the bigger deals might be made a few days in advance because a GM says, well, you know, if you're the Islanders and you want to acquire somebody, you might as well do it. And the GM, in this case, the Devils, are probably saying, well, we're not going to get anybody better. Like we've sniffed around, and if you can get I know you're not a big fan of getting first of trading the first rounders, but if you were the GM being offered a first rounder, it would probably make you consider it a little more. And I think first round picks have more value than in other years because you're going to need young, good players on entry level contracts. So, you know, New Jersey builds up a little bit there.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, if you're in a race, what the Islanders are, I mean, if you get the guy for a few games earlier, why not get him a few games earlier? New Jersey's probably seen what's been thrown around out there, what people are offering. And he says, okay, I could play chicken and get to the deadline, but all of a sudden the Islanders in the meantime say, you know what? That you're asking too much now. I'm going to go another direction. And now you're standing there at the end of the deadline and you still have assets in your hand. You never got to move them. So I give credit to the Islanders for doing this. The Islanders are a good hockey club. They are, and they just got better.
All right, the Oilers beat the Senators 4-2. Draisaitl with a hat trick. Courtesy Mattress Superstore, give them 5 minutes, and they'll give you the best sleep of your life. Take the Sleepology body scan and take the guesswork out of buying a mattress. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Sir, Rob Dutchkowski, Post Media.
Hi, Dave. Obviously, putting McDavid and Draisaitl together paid huge dividends today. So, I mean, obviously coaching was the difference in this game, I would think.
No, that's those players are the ones that make the difference in the game. And we talked about it last night as a staff, and our last couple games at home against them, we had some success with that line together, so we went back with it tonight.
You've got Draisaitl, who, you know, one of the best shooters in this league, and teams, they kind of have to leave him open a little bit, because if he doesn't, McDavid has more time and space. I mean, that's got to be an awful predicament for opposition teams to find themselves in.
Well, they're both elite players, and they make plays, and, you know, Draisaitl shoots it as well as anybody, especially quick off the pass, and so they play off each other well, and you know, they find opportunities, and they, you know, they capitalize on some opportunities that are, they're kind of not normal goals. They're what top players do. And that's, you know, we're fortunate that they capitalized a couple on those tonight.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
Dave, it's hard to tell on TV. You had Cassian out with those guys at one point in the third period. I don't know if he overstayed a shift or what happened there. Was that a plan?
With McDavid and Draisaitl? No, I think it was just in the middle of a change.
Okay, I want to ask about Cassian's game. He's pretty quiet, man. There's not a lot of points, not a lot of hits.
He was not bad tonight. He played we played him on left wing tonight. We're going to try some different things. We've been talking to him. He was his game was better tonight than it was the other night in Montreal.
Is that the kind of game that your team, you know, it doesn't hurt your team? You played a feisty opponent that pushed back and hit back, and I thought Ottawa.
Ottawa works. So you know they're going to work. If you're not willing to work, you're going to be behind. So they drag you into the game, and you know, I thought I liked our lines tonight. We had everybody that played, and you know you got to work. So it's that's the kind of game it was going to be. And ultimately, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl made a couple of real good plays for us to give us an advantage.
Terry Jones, Post Media, go ahead.
We're talking to Leon and Connor. They gave me the idea that a lot of times when you're going to the dynamic duo, that they don't find out about it till the morning skate, although they can sense it coming in some cases. With their record this year against Ottawa, was that pretty much a no-brainer?
Well, they haven't, you know, that's our eighth game. There was games, the first three or four, I don't think they played together, but the last set that we had at home there, the last three we had at home, I think we had them together. So it's, you know, you go back and you look at some of those tapes and you try to figure out what you think might work and what not. So tonight we just decided to put them together, and fortunately we got some results.
Now you got one more game to play against them tomorrow night. What's the challenge involved?
Well, you know, you got to show up and work, because they're going to work. They drag you into the work ethic of the game, and if you're not working, you're going to be behind. So we have to make sure we get some rest tonight and show up and make sure we got our work boots on tomorrow, because it's going to be another tight game that, you know, you're going to have to work to find a way to win if you got a chance to win.
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
Dave, how did you think Turris played this evening?
I thought they were all right. That line, they banged around, had some shifts down in the offensive zone. Turris had a good chance on a power play. So, you know, we'll see. We're lots of moving parts right now, so we'll see where that goes. But they were all right tonight, that line.
You talked about Ottawa's competitiveness. How did you see the Brady Tkachuk, Leon Draisaitl, a little bit of a dust up there? Is that just the way Tkachuk plays?
I didn't see it down in the corner. It was the one in the corner I couldn't see, but that's just part of the game. You got teams competing. That's what's going to happen.
Daniel Lindgren Bowman, The Athletic.
Dave, you seem to give your second power play unit a little bit more ice, including starting them in one power play. What did you think of that unit that you put together?
They had a chance. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl were out there for a minute and 30. And just had come off another power play, so we wanted to give them a breather. So we put them out there. They had a good chance. Turris had a good chance. So it's good to get some people other looks there, and they were fine tonight.
And Mikko Koskinen was coming off, you know, as everyone did in Montreal last week, not a very good performance. And how did you think he rebounded tonight?
He was solid, really solid. You know, we gave up a couple chances at the end there. He made big saves for us, so timely saves. And, you know, he played really well in here last time he played in here. So it's, we thought he would give us a good game, and he came up and played very well.
Final question, Ryan Oshog, TSN.
Dave, just on Draisaitl's second goal there, I mean, you know, to thread the needle the way he did from where he did, just maybe if you can put into perspective how hard a shot that is to make and how impressive that is.
Well, first of all, most guys wouldn't even attempt that shot, so you're not going to see it very often. But, you know, that's the kind of player he is. He has that confidence. Not only can he try it, he's successful at it, so... it was a heck of a shot. It's just one of those ones that catches a goalie and pretty small space to fit it through, but he found a way.
Would you have ever shot a puck from there? Can you recall ever having done that yourself?
I dumped a lot of pucks in the corner there. I might have tried to shot one there, but no chance of going in.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Head coach of the Edmonton Oilers as they knock off the Ottawa Senators 4-2. Draisaitl with a hat trick, had an assist. McDavid had a goal and three assists. So they lead the way tonight. And we'll get into some discussion, as Tiffett was asked about some of the depth players as well today. Tyson Barry with two assists. Ethan Bear had an assist as well for Edmonton. But we should touch on, Rob, Mikko Koskinen. I mean, you got to hand it to him. Has looked quite solid since Mike Smith came back. Doesn't play as much. He's usually playing every third or fourth game. 28 saves tonight. Couple of big saves down the stretch, and his record gets bumped up to 10-11 on the year.
Yeah, I thought he was good. And that's why we've gotten a lot of phone calls or questions over the last little while asking, you know, when's Stalock going to play? And I keep saying the same answer. I don't see him playing. I really don't. Smith's your starter. He's going to get three quarters of the games. And Koskinen's your backup and has been very good as a backup. I'm not sure that's what they were planning on having him when they signed him to the contract extension, but it's what he's become. And since Smith has come back, Koskinen has been good almost every game because he's rested. He's being able to play the proper amount of minutes now. And to me, the Oilers are set in net right now. Now, all of a sudden, the alarm clock go off on Mike Smith age at some point. He's like, hey, wait, I'm not supposed to be this good. I don't know. But right now, both goaltenders have given the Oilers quality starts and really good quality starts. And tonight was just another example of that. Koskinen didn't have to be great, but he had to make a couple big saves. And I know that Bob talked about it at the end of the game. Connor gave the puck away in the last 20 seconds of the game. Koskinen came up with a really big save to keep this from going into overtime.
Yeah, that was a big save on Stützle in front, absolutely. And then Draisaitl scored the empty netter just before time expired. That is his fifth regular season hat trick, second against Ottawa this year. He now has six in his career because, of course, one came in the playoffs. Draisaitl, the first star. Connor McDavid, the second star. Connor Brown picked as the third star. We'll make Mikko Koskinen the fourth star for Mr. Mike's Steakhouse Casual, your hockey destination. Make your reservation at MrMikes.ca. You can get us at 780-496-0063. That's the CertainTeed hotline, CertainTeed professional grade.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Building materials. The Oilers win at 4-2 in Ottawa. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Okay, Leon Draisaitl with a hat trick. The Oilers beat the Ottawa Senators 4-2, 8-0 against the Sens this season. They'll try to make it 9-0 tomorrow. Can also tell you that the Canadiens and Maple Leafs are 1-1 with about 5.5 minutes left in the first period. That's on the scoreboard presented by Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. Curling this afternoon at Worlds in Calgary. Canada's Brendan Botcher skipped rink, losing 8-7 in 11 to the Russian Curling Federation. So Botcher now 7-3. The Russian team improves to 8-2. 780-496-0063 is how you get a hold of us. Davis writes in and says, hi, guys. I've heard Rob tell a lot of stories over the years about Mario Lemieux scoring with his feet behind the goal line, but did he ever score any when he was that far away from the net? And you referenced it. Leon's, you know, butt was right back into the corner when he shot the puck.
Normally when Mario would do that, and we've seen Connor try it this year, and a lot of the superstars do it nowadays. If they're behind the net, they get the goaltender facing the wrong way. They try bouncing it off the goalie. And you see that you know, almost every few games, someone will try and bounce one in off a goalie. Very seldom do you see someone beat a goalie. And that's what Leon, and he just simply beat a goalie from that angle. Honestly, I don't remember Mario ever sliding down in that position. As Dave Tippett said, and it's true, players don't put themselves in that position to shoot the puck. Most players, and I said it when I was talking between periods, when they get down in that spot, they've created space for themselves. Now they got the puck. Now they're looking to go back to the point with the pass. Or they're going to just throw the puck on the ice and hope it hits a foot or a stick and creates confusion in the front of the net. I mean, I was a goal scorer, and there was no way I ever thought of sliding to where Leon went. Never. It just, we taught kids never to do that simply because you just took away your angle. You just took away any advantage you had on that goaltender and played to the goalie's strengths. But Leon is so good, so talented, and his one-timer, it's got to be up there in the top three or four in the National Hockey League for both how hard he hits it, but more importantly, he always hits the net. And on that one right there, I don't care who's playing net in the National Hockey League. Nobody's stopping that because nobody's expecting a shot to come from that spot.
Rob, this is going to make you chuckle here. Got a message from Thomas who says, hi, guys. Two observations about tonight's game. One, Leon is good. Two, I can't decide which Tkachuk irritates me more.
I'll throw it out there. The father. How's that?
Yeah, which of the three? That's a good point.
Leon is good. I mean, we're fortunate in Edmonton that we have Connor McDavid here. I mean, he came with huge fanfare. It was a celebration when we won the lotto and got to pick Connor McDavid. And at no point have we even remotely been disappointed. He has been, if not as good, most likely better than advertised. But sometimes getting overlooked in that is how good Leon Draisaitl is. I mean, we've got the two best players in the NHL playing on the same team. And night after night, we get to see that. So, yes, Leon Draisaitl is good, and his skill level is amazing. He's a different skill set than Connor. Connor's skill set is a combination of brain and feet. Leon's skill set is a combination of hands and brain. But when you combine them together, and we saw tonight with the Ottawa Senators, it is incredibly hard to contain them.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, and because McDavid will just kill you with his speed and just, I mean, look, certainly there's other skill sets, but Draisaitl's more likely to grind you down or do something with pure power, because that's part of those one-timers that he scores. I mean, yes, you got to get them off, but he is drilling them, and that extra 3 or 4 miles per hour on a shot, sometimes that's the difference between it going in or off a goalie and in and the goalie getting across to stop it.
And that's why for Leon's one-timers, he doesn't have to go bar down or bar in, because it gets there so fast. He just has to hit the net, because the net's going to be open. There's that split second as the goalie's coming across, there's open net. That if he hits the net, it's going to be in the net. And it over and over and over again. And what you love about him, and Brett Hull was the best that I ever played against at it, is finding a quiet spot on the ice. It's amazing. When Connor has the puck and he's playing with Leon, everybody that's watching the game knows, okay, he's looking to find Leon in a backdoor one-timer. Everyone in the game, every player on the opposition has studied film over and over again. Okay, when Connor's going one way, you know he's coming back across the ice to Leon. Everyone knows it. Yet the great players find ways to disappear. They find ways to find that quiet zone that gives the good passing lane and also allows you the shooting lane. Brett Hull was the best ever. He scored 80-some goals a season, yet he always seemed to be wide open when he got the puck. Leon Draisaitl is the same way. Smart players just outthink you, and Leon did that tonight. And when you got Connor making the play, you know that 99.9% of the time, it's going to be on a tee, and all Leon has to do is hit it.
So 3 for Draisaitl, 1 for McDavid in a 4-2 win over the Senators. That means a $400 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous. It's courtesy James H. Brown and Associates Serious Injury Lawyers. They're giving $100 for every Oilers goal throughout the season, and the total now up to $13,100. Great stuff from James H. Brown. Okay, Draisaitl, a big game, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Here he is.
Leon, a strong game again from you and Connor when you're on the same line. I'm just wondering, as a player, do you have to think differently or get to think the game a little differently when you're on the ice with Connor McDavid?
I mean, it's probably a different game than when I'm playing center, yeah. But I think we both just try and play our game and, you know, be effective, play both ways. Be good in our own zone and then, you know, turn that into a quick transition up the ice. So he obviously speeds the game up a lot. So it's quick thinking. And I think he would probably tell you the same.
I know it's not easy to talk up your own goals, but that second one from the sharp angle there, can you maybe just talk people through what you saw? Because, you know, we all watched the replay about 3 or 4 times and we still don't know how that went in.
This is weird, but I don't know. I just try and take a shot, put myself in a position where I can, surprise the goalie maybe a little bit, get an angle where I can get it off quick enough so it has a chance. But it's obviously a really nice play by Connor as well.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
To that last goal, Leon, you often shoot from that side. You seldom shoot from quite that low on that side. Is that, you know, does that just happen? Do you have time to say, oh, man, I might be a little low here? Or is it just instinct?
It's definitely a little instinctual. I think sometimes you just, I don't know, from the side of your eye or something, you can try and read the goalie a little bit, but sometimes it's just instincts and sometimes you want to get it off. Sometimes you think there's a better play to be made. So, you know, obviously I'm lucky that, you know, I made that decision and I went in.
And the power play goal, Connor McDavid gets that puck on the other side and he takes a couple steps to the net and everybody on the PK looks at him and says, uh-oh, we better go cover Connor McDavid. And you stand out there waiting for a pass. I assume you know that pass. You assume that pass is coming. Is that a... You think that pass is going to come over when he starts stepping to the net?
Yeah, I mean, he's a threat, right? Because he's got a heck of a shot as well, and he's using it. And it's hard to defend, especially him. He's the best passer in the game. He'll find those little triangles, those little seams, and it's my job to find an opening and make it easy for him to get it over there. And then it's just about being ready and, you know, trying to bear down and put it in.
Kerry Jones, Post Media.
At what point do you and Connor find out that that you're going to play a game together? And to what extent do you kind of anticipate it regardless? I mean, you've had so much success against that.
Usually we find out the morning of the game. and then, I think we're just so used to it by now that You know, it's not a big deal for us to switch back and forth. We've done it for so many years. We've done it for so long, and it's just a matter of you know, adjusting your game a little bit. And you know, whether we're together or apart, it doesn't really matter to us. We try and go out and play our game every night, and some nights it works better than others. I think that's normal in this league. But yeah, it's obviously always fun to play with them.
To somebody picking up the summary tomorrow, it would appear that you guys, quote unquote, collected another win against Ottawa, 4-2, business as usual, 8-0, and that sort of thing. But that wasn't that was no easy win again.
No, it's no win is easy in this league. They've lost 7 times to us before this. You know, they're going to try and everything they can to win a game. So, you know, they're an energetic group. They got some skill over there. They'll make plays. They throw a lot of pucks on net, which is always dangerous. So there's no easy wins in this league. Sometimes, you know, those ugly ones are the ones that you need. And I thought tonight wasn't the prettiest, but it's 2 points, and I don't think anyone really cares about how we won this game.
Daniel Jim Bowman, The Athletic.
Leon, just to play a little bit off of Terry's question there, you know, you guys were really humming as a line. You had 2-2 with a few minutes left in the game. So I'm just wondering, did you sense another one was coming for you guys the way you were playing, or was there maybe the frustration, not the right word, but, you know, the fact that it was tied, was it a little concerning for you guys at that point?
No, it's not concerning. Like I said, this league's hard. There's no easy teams to beat. Teams are going to make it hard on you. There's tight games over and over and over again. And tonight was a tight game. Would I say that we're feeling another one? No. Sometimes it just happens, you know. Obviously, we wanted to end it in regulation, wanted to win the game. So we had one crack at it, and we ended up scoring. So it's a big win for us, and move on to tomorrow.
And you know, when you made that little backhand pass to McDavid there, did you sense that he was going to do what he did?
Yeah, I mean, he had so much speed cutting the corner there that you know, it's always dangerous to defend him, obviously, when he cuts the corner like that with that much speed. So there's always something that can happen with him, you know, the puck in his hand, obviously.
Final question in English, Tony Brower, Oilers TV.
Leon, you guys have been so good this season, holding on to a lead when heading into the final frame. But two nights ago, you guys maybe had a little bit of a missed opportunity. And tonight, Ottawa tied things up in the first minute of the third. But it must be a pretty good feeling for your group to stick with it and come out with 2 points.
Yeah, of course. You know, those are playoff types of games that, you know, you go into the third leading and they tie one up, and then it's a tight game, and you try and get it back. So it's a good test for us, and I have to be ready for tomorrow.
There's the first star this afternoon. Leon Draisaitl with a hat trick as the Edmonton Oilers knock off the Ottawa Senators 4-2. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown with you in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. So Draisaitl leads the way. A lot of contributions from McDavid as well. Rob, I think we got to talk about some of the other storylines. And look, this is not a surprise to see those two guys produce a lot of points. And it's not a surprise maybe in some situations to have some of the other guys on the roster leave you wanting a little more. And look, I have no problem with the Oilers banking points against the Ottawa Senators. You got to get the points wherever you can. We've talked about how poorly the Flames have done against the Senators, and that could be one of the big reasons they wind up missing the playoffs. So you got to beat the team you have to beat. But we know in a little over a month, the Oilers are going to be in a 7-game series with either Montreal, Toronto, or Winnipeg. And especially Toronto and Montreal have done a pretty good job limiting Connor and Leon, and you need other guys stepping up. Kyle Turris got back into the lineup today and was on the line with Archibald and Cassian.
Yeah, Bob and I talked about that at the end of the game when he said compare Turris is what for the spot that he took from Haas. And I said, for good or for bad, I always notice Haas at the end of the game. He's a spark plug out there. He's always moving. He's always darting. He has the puck on his stick a lot. He tries to dangle, but I notice him. And too many times I haven't noticed Turris as much. Like in today's game, didn't really notice a whole lot. And this was a game, the Ottawa Senators, I mean, this is the bottom of the heap in the North Division. If you are going to be a player that is lower in the lineup, a support player, these are the games you should be noticed more in, because you're not playing the Toronto Maple Leafs depth. You're not playing the Winnipeg's depth or Montreal's depth. This is a team, Ottawa, that works hard, but let's face it, their depth, I mean, you can't, we go around the street in Edmonton, you probably couldn't name, you know, their bottom five players. And we didn't notice some of the depth players for the Oilers tonight. And this is a trial right now for the Oilers players in the role players on this team. There's 29 guys that are on the roster with the taxi squad. And as you said, a month from now, the playoffs are going to start. Everybody wants to be in the opening night of the playoffs. Nobody wants to be sitting up in the rafters. So there's now, I don't know, what is it, 16 games left on the season or something along that line for these players to prove that they deserve to be in the lineup on that night. And some players have really grasped it. Devin Shore has been excellent since he's come back in the lineup. You notice him every night, and it's always a good thing. But there's other players that you've looked and you're like, huh, I was expecting more. And then the other thing you throw in there too, Reed, we are, what, 6 days, 5 days away from a trade deadline. So there's players you have in the lineup, and there's a reason sometimes guys are put in. Okay, are we getting enough from this player? Or do we need to shore up something down in a depth role type of player because we're not getting what is expected from that player? So, the stars were great tonight. Some of the support were good, but there were others that you didn't notice as much.
Well, I love how you put that. You got to always remember the internal competition for playing time and for spots. And it's, you know, players are always planting the seeds in a coach's mind. A, who can I trust? And B, can somebody make a play other than the top guys? Because when you get to the playoffs, you're going to need something from an unusual source, an unlikely contributor, an unlikely hero, whatever you want to call it. And I'm glad you brought up Devin Shore's name, because, you know, he's got a little bit of offense to his game. I realize he doesn't have a ton of goals, and I realize he didn't score tonight, but he actually had a couple of legitimate scoring chances where he makes good plays and he shows he can at least get a shot off. Do you want more to go in? Well, of course, everybody wants more to go in, but he's a perfect example, plays 10 to 12 minutes a night, kills some penalties, clearly has the trust of the coaching staff, and at least you can see, okay, he tried to make a play. It wasn't just get the puck into the offensive end of the rink and then the drive goes away.
He made a really nice play, and I think it was shorthanded, where he got the puck, took his time, looked off a defender, then walked to the slot. And I mean, it's hard to tell because we're a million miles away, but it looked like it hit the outside of the post. But it was a smart play, a thinking man's play. He didn't just, you know, third, fourth line guy throw it on net and chase puck. He actually tried to create something. He's earning the trust of the coaching staff. He's a guy that late in games, you've seen him move up onto Leon's line because he's got a little better defensive pedigree than Cahoon. And the one thing you never want to be is a guy that late in games or in certain situations, you get pulled off the ice because the coach doesn't trust you, because eventually that pulling off the line becomes putting in the stands because the coach don't trust you. So Shore has been everything that they had hoped for and probably more. And when you start looking at the guys in the bottom of the lineup, there's certain guys that are earning more and more trust from the coaching staff, and he is certainly one of them.
Okay, the Oilers take it 4-2. We are looking for somebody to finish the play at 780-496-0063. That's our CertainTeed hotline. You're also going to hear from Connor McDavid. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line from the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center.
Here is McDavid into the Ottawa end, top of the circle, into the corner, Draisaitl scores! Leon Draisaitl, one-timer, from an impossible angle, and the Oilers are up 2-1.
Spectacular second period goal from Leon Draisaitl. He nets a hat trick as the Oilers beat the Senators 4-2. McDavid had the other goal. Really good game from Koskinen as well. He makes 28 saves. So here's the trade that happened a little less than an hour ago. The New York Islanders get Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils for a first-round pick this summer, a conditional fourth-round pick in 22, and forwards A.J. Greer and Mason Jobst, who are both currently playing in the minors. And Pierre LeBrun reporting that the condition of the pick is that if the Islanders make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final, the fourth-rounder becomes a third, either in 2022 or 2023. So that's the breakdown. Palmieri has 8 goals and 9 assists in 34 games this season. He's 30. He's in the final year of his contract, makes $2.3 million. He's obviously a free agent this summer. Zajac, a little older, he's 35. I was double-checking the stats, Rob. He actually has 18 points. He has one more point than Palmieri, and he's making $2.8 million per season, both UFAs. So that is the deal. I think that's a pretty good one for the Islanders. I mean, giving up a first rounder is a big price to pay, but I think that's a pretty good deal for the Islanders.
Well, they're going all in. They've got a very good hockey club that's playing well. They're well coached. And what we've seen with Montreal, they picked up some veteran players this year, Perry, and they just got Staal. The Toronto Maple Leafs have gotten out and they got a Simmons, a Spezza, Thornton. Teams are trying to find older players, veteran players that have been around that they can play in a support role. They're not looking for the guy to come in that's going to lead them. They're looking for guys that are going to come in and fit in and play well in whatever role you put them in. And the Islanders just got some veteran type players to add to an already very good lineup. So yes, now it makes it interesting in that division. If you're Pittsburgh or Washington, or teams like that, what do you do now? Because the Islanders just got better.
The Montreal Canadiens announced earlier today, Brendan Gallagher, long-term injured reserve. He's expected to miss 6 weeks, broken thumb on Monday against the Oilers.
It's too bad. You just don't like seeing injuries ever. And then, yeah, the fact that it's a good kid that plays the game the right way. So it's too bad for the Montreal Canadiens, hopefully. With that diagnosis, he is back for the playoffs because Montreal will be in the playoffs. You don't want to see, you just don't want to see him miss the whole rest of the year. You want to see him come back and play. So best wishes to him because he's a player that every other team in the NHL wish they had players like him.
All right, the Oilers take it 4-2. You can get us on the CertainTeed hotline, CertainTeed professional grade building materials, 780-496-0063. We have Stu standing by. Stu, what is on your mind, sir?
Oh, well, Leon scored a dynamic goal like he was playing soccer for the Germans. When he got that second goal, that was amazing.
Yeah, great goal for sure. Anything else, or you want to do the contest?
Yeah, I want to do the contest.
Okay, here we go, buddy. You already got a premium sampler box from Hungry Herd. Top quality meats delivered right to your door at everyday low prices. Alberta owned and operated. Kellen, roll it.
Now to Barry, left wing for Nurse. He'll go cross ice, skips off the stick of Yamamoto. Oh, oh boy, Yamamoto.
Yamamoto delivered a huge hit, Stu. Did he hit Mike Riley or Drake Batherson?
Riley.
Let's find out.
Now to
sure.
Barry, left wing for Nurse. He'll go cross ice, skips off the stick of Yamamoto. Oh, oh boy, Yamamoto ran over Riley. What a hit by Yamamoto. Here's Nurse.
I know another Mike Riley who got hit quite a few times, but by a lot bigger defensive lineman than Yamamoto. Stu, you got it. Your name's going into the grand prize draw for a $1,000 gift certificate to Visions Electronics. That's courtesy PF Custom Countertops. Support local with a PF renovation. Get started at pfcustomcountertops.com. Kyler Yamamoto, it's interesting, Rob. Teams don't usually draft enforcers in the first round.
yeah, he plays with a little bit of edge. Any player that plays and is an offensive player at his size has had to learn to play with abuse. I mean, whenever you go against a skilled player, okay, he's a small guy, you got to be physical. You got to hit him over and over and over again. So if you want to survive and not be a flash in the pan, then you got to be able to protect yourself. And what we've seen this year, that Yamamoto gives it out just as much as he takes it. And he's got a little bit of Gurr in his game. And we saw that right there where I don't think Riley had any idea, even after he got hit, what had happened, because he's looking at Yamamoto. His eyes are lighting him. He goes, all right, I'm going to run this kid through the boards. Next thing, you're staring up at the lights and the scoreboard, and you're like, hey, what happened there? So I'm sure in probably not tonight, but in tomorrow's practice, the Ottawa Senators, there'll be a few guys throwing out barbs at Riley saying, yeah, remember when that 5'4" guy just sent you flying? Yeah, just in case you weren't sure about it, we're going to text you over and over, because I guarantee you there's memes out there right now that you can send to people with that hit.
Well, I mean, good for Yamamoto for how he plays. And that is part of an interesting discussion, though. And we were talking about it earlier, some of the Oilers' depth players. What are you bringing? Are you noticeable? It still seems to me that the Oilers' forwards who are most willing to physically engage and try to throw a noticeable momentum-changing body check are their two smallest guys, Josh Archibald and Kyler Yamamoto. So celebrate those guys. But I understand why that's frustrating to some of our listeners. Why don't we hear about those momentum-changing hits from some of the guys who are, you know, 6 feet, 6'2", 6'4"?
You're right. I mean, the one player that's more consistent since he's started to play better is Jujhar Khaira. He's been more physical. And Bob and I talked at the end of the game. We talked about Cassian, and that's who you're probably referring to, and most people are when they talk about where has he been. When Zach Cassian signed his contract, and I said it after the game, I said that is a great contract if he plays with Connor McDavid. That contract is not as pleasing if he's a third line winger. And that's what he's become. And the reason he's become that is you don't see the consistency in his game that we saw before. Zach Cassian, outside of Connor and Leon, probably has the ability to impact a game more than any other player. Connor and Leon will do it with their skill, but Cassian was able to do it. And we've seen it in the past with his physicality, with his fighting, with his playing on the edge and occasionally going over the edge. There was an intimidation factor, and we haven't seen that, not on a consistent basis. And in all honesty, if Zach was playing with consistency on the third line right now, doing what he's capable of doing, he could possibly be back playing with Leon and Connor in tonight's game. Puljujärvi slowed down considerable in the last 15 games. And you know what Dave Tippett's like. He likes to change things up when they're not working. But Cassian hasn't shown enough to allow him to be able to move up and down the lineup. And he's one of those guys that they need more from. If they want to be a team that beats Montreal or beats the Winnipeg Jets or beats Toronto in the playoffs, they're going to have to be physical against the Ehlers, the Tavares, the Marner, and a number of the small Montreal forwards. And they need the Cassians to do that. And we haven't seen that from him this year.
That'll be our adjustment of the game that we're looking for from Alberta's chiropractors. If it hurts, see a chiropractor. Visit albertachiro.com/hockey. Okay, we have Dave standing by as well. 780-496-0063. By the way, Leafs and Canadians 1-1, 4 minutes into the second period. Oilers beat the Sens 4-2. Dave, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say my one comment on the second goal by Draisaitl from the goal line. Hello?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. It reminded me of somebody else. In a past life, I used to drive a Zamboni at the U of A rink, and every fall, there would be this big conditioning camp there. Lots of the other players were there, and I remember Yari Curry standing right in the corner there, feet over the line, and shooting shot after shot into the far side of that net. Looked just like that last night.
Yeah, well, if there's a player that could do it, that would be the guy that could. You're right.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, no, there's players, there's few and far between. The thing is, most players will never try it. Most players are never going to drift into the corner under the goal line and set themselves up to shoot a puck. I I mean, Jari Kurri wouldn't have done that in a game. Jari Kurri was knew, all right, I'm going to get into this area over here because this is a better scoring spot. But that is how confident Leon Draisaitl is in his shot. And we've seen him a number of times fall into bad angles on purpose. And the rink is smaller now for these players than it was when I played because the players are much, much bigger now. So there's not as much room. So you can't stand in the areas that I used to stand in, Brett Hall used to stand in, where there was more room. So you got to find areas that are quiet. And not many players in the league are capable or willing to do what Leon did. Find that area and then shoot from there. So the talent level is incredible that he's not only can think the game to put himself there, but to be able to make it work. And then you got Connor McDavid finding him there thinking, all right, you know, he's in a goal scoring place. Most guys aren't going to pass it to a guy down there. But yeah, Jari Kurri would be another player that you would think could put the puck in the net from just about anywhere on the ice.
Well, what I find interesting about that as well, Rob, so if Kurri is shooting from a sharp angle or any player who is practicing, you're doing something that is probably going to be more difficult than you would try it in a game. I mean, yep. You might try it in a game, but if you can hit the net from this incredibly sharp angle, then you're going to be comfortable doing it from the faceoff dot or the top. I mean, it's like why baseball players swing weighted bats. Right, where they're getting ready to go to bat. Okay, I'm working myself in, or you know, you see, field goal kickers will try field goals from these incredibly sharp angles. So then, when they get in a game, it's like, oh well, the goalposts look like they're 400 feet wide. Of course, I'm gonna make it. So that's a cool memory from Dave that he saw Kurri doing that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're in practice, it's amazing when you watch practice. Come, don't just watch if anyone ever has a chance, don't just go watch the 60 minutes or 45, whatever, where from the time the coach starts to the time the practice ends. As fun as that is, players are at their best, most creative before the whistle and after the whistle in practices. Because then they get to do what they want. They get to be kids and they get to try things. They'll try something they saw another player do or heard about. And they want to see what they're capable, and then they'll push the envelope a little bit more. That's when it's the funnest. That's when Mario used to, at the end of every practice, set up 5 pucks and shoot on this goalie, Frankie Pietrangelo. Take 5 wrist shots from the center ice circle in the dot in the offensive zone, and he'd score 4 to 5 every time. And I used to laugh at Frankie, say, I can't believe you're letting them score like that. And he said, I have no idea where the puck's going because he's that good. So it the best players, they start doing these. In Pittsburgh, we used to have these little tournaments at the end of practice. We had a lot of Russians, a lot of Swedes, a lot of Czechs, and we had a North American. So you had teams of 4, and you play 4-on-4. And we used to have Alexei Kovalev on the team, who Jaromir Jagr said was the most talented player he'd ever seen. And I believe it. He just didn't always want to be. But he would go through all 4 of us in the North American team, go in on a breakaway, turn, come all the way back out to center just so he could go through all 4 of us again and go on a breakaway a second time. That's how talented he was. But you just didn't see it all the time.
Well, that sounds frustrating to defend against. The Oilers went 4-2 over Ottawa. Whenever they get to 5, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light, courtesy Japanese Village Restaurants. More on them at jvedmonton.ca. Okay, so I'm going to keep with everybody here from Inside Sports, so we'll keep talking about the Oilers game a little bit. We'll get to Connor McDavid after 7. We'll get some final thoughts from Rob after the break here on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. All right, appreciate you tuning in. The Oilers win the game that started at 3 in the afternoon, an odd start time, 4-2 over the Ottawa Senators. Draisaitl in the first, Norris and Draisaitl in the second period, and then Brown, McDavid, and Draisaitl into an empty net to seal the deal. That one went in just before the buzzer went, so 4 points each for McDavid and Draisaitl. Edmonton 1-for-3 on the power play, Ottawa 0-for-2. The shots were 35-30 in favor of the Oilers. Koskinen 28 saves for the win. Hogberg 31 saves for the loss. Some other stats to look at. Rob Darnell Nurse, as you might expect, leads the ice time with 26-41. Also had 4 shots on goal, credited with 3 hits and 3 blocked shots as well. Draisaitl played 23-50. McDavid played 24-02. How about, I mean, it's not as the faceoff stat is an interesting one because, you know, they won the game. And I think there are maybe certain faceoffs, Rob, that there's somebody should keep a stat like important faceoffs or something like that. But so the Oilers went 38% in the faceoff circle, but Draisaitl went 54%. So I won't go through every guy's stat. You can just know that it was 43% or lower for every other individual faceoff.
Well, if you're a fan wondering what is a big need for the Oilers on trade deadline, someone that can win a faceoff. Because in the playoffs, as you know, goals become a little bit harder to find. Faceoffs become a little bit more important. And if you got to send Leon out to take every important faceoff at times, he's going to get stuck out on the ice. And you're wasting valuable energy of one of the best players in the world because no one else on your team can you trust to win a faceoff.
Well, and another thing to talk about, I mean, if we're speaking about depth and trying to get more players to contribute as well, the three guys who kill the final minute, you know, in a one or two goal lead are McDavid, Draisaitl, and Archibald. And I know other teams will put their you know, best players out because a lot of times they're fast and you want a guy who can hit an empty net, but that's just another situation where you're kind of leaning on the two stars.
Well, we found they lean on them for just about everything.
True.
Well, Leon's going to be out there 100% of the time because if there's a faceoff, he has to be out there. He's the only guy that you can trust. Archibald, we found over the last year and a bit that he is probably the most trusted of all the role players, and rightfully so. And Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid. So those are the guys you're going to have out there at the end of a hockey game. But yeah, it's one of those ones that when you say, okay, if those three aren't out there, who would I put? And then it's a long thought process to find the next three guys that you would have up because we don't see it very often. And there's probably a reason why we don't see any other guys because they don't get the job done as well.
All right, Rob, we're back at it tomorrow. A more usual game time that we're used to for road games in the East. Face-off show at 3:30. Game's going to be at 5. Look forward to talking to you then, buddy.
Sounds good, Reed.
We'll have a little more on this game during Inside Sports, of course. You'll get the post-game comments from Connor McDavid. You can still chime in, 780-496-0063. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer. Get more on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Oilers win it 4-2. Draisaitl with a hat trick. This has been Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line from the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. I got an hour of Inside Sports coming up.
Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630ched.